Well, this is a day we set aside in our culture, remembering moms, and I want to touch on that today. I want to talk about the legacy of a mother and of a grandmother. I want to talk about communicating the faith to the next generation. And you think about it, you know, there was a time when there was the faith was somewhat pervasive, and perhaps even when, if it didn't get communicated within a family, you know, it would still, because of the culture, there was that communication of faith. But we live in a day and age, at least humanly speaking, if not us, it ain't going to be done. You know, Brother Sings talked about kids just completely have no biblical knowledge, none. In American high schools today, and they've zero. It wasn't always that way, so it's more important today than ever, you know, that we have godly parents, and in particular, as we remember today, the need for godly mothers and godly grandmothers. Paul writes to young Timothy. Timothy was pastor at church at Ephesus at the time Paul writes this letter to him. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul says this. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and in thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Of course, young Timothy was Paul's companion through many of his journeys, and Timothy was a great man of faith, greatly used of the Lord. Paul himself came to look upon Timothy as a younger man and one who evidently had no father present at this time. And we'll talk about what kind of influence he was even when he did perhaps have one. Paul really came to look upon Timothy as his own beloved son. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, he said this, as he said, "For this cause I have sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So when Paul sends Timothy to Corinth, he says, "I sent to you Timotheus, who's my beloved son." And when he writes to Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 2, he says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." So Paul has this special affection for Timothy, and Paul remembers the influence that Timothy's mother and grandmother were upon him. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," Paul gives thanksgiving for the faith of God, and unmistakably, whatever faith we have comes from God. It is the gift of God. It's not something that Timothy worked up within himself. And even though God uses people to pass on that legacy of faith to us, it is unmistakably the gift of God. Genuine faith. Ephesians 2 tells us in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul writes to Timothy of this faith. He thanks the Lord for it, and he tells Timothy it's an unfeigned faith. Literally, the word means without dissimulation. It's, you know, without any kind of covering up or hiding or any hypocrisy. It wasn't merely a traditional faith. It wasn't merely a faith of rote memory. No, it was an unfeigned faith. It was a genuine faith that goes beyond what today is often recognized, you know, human confession or a human profession. You know, you pray this prayer after me, you do this, you know, you follow the steps. Now, Paul writes to Timothy, and he praises the Lord. He brings to remembrance that unfeigned faith, that genuine faith, that faith without dissimulation, that grace of faith that's implanted by the Holy Spirit. That grace of faith that is not a work of man, but a work of God. And we already looked at that passage in Ephesians. Such faith is not the result of works, but such faith is manifested in our works. It's manifested in how we live. Paul, if I look at the rest of that passage, Ephesians 2, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So genuine faith is manifested. It's shown forth by the good works that God implants within us. And while this faith is unmistakably and undoubtedly and unarguably a gift of God, God deigns to use men and women in the communication of it, in the passing along of it, and the legacy that goes from one generation to the other. God is sovereign, and His will absolutely be accomplished. But we remain accountable to Him, and He still deigns to work through men and women. And so as Paul brings to remembrance this unfeigned faith, he says, "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice." Timothy's grandmother, Lois. As I was reading it through it this time, it just even more dawned on me, you know, how kind of coincidental, if you will, and from human perspectives, providentially, you know, these names, though somewhat reversed, have a lot to do with my whole life. My mom's Louise, you know, kind of an English derivation of that. Lois, Timothy's grandmother, the mother of his own mother, who was certainly a genuine saint, who was redeemed of the Lord, because she has this unfeigned faith. Now, we don't know all the details about her. We don't know that she was alive even during the Lord's earthly ministry. But she was certainly a saint. She was either an Old Testament saint or a New Testament saint, but she was a saint of the Lord. Paul writes this letter some 30 years after the Lord's ministry, so it's very possible that, you know, Lois actually had lived and or maybe even was a follower during the Lord's earthly ministry, though the family's in Lystra, so that's somewhat removed from things, so she may not have been during his ministry, but she may have come to embrace Christ during the ministry of the apostles. And in any case, she has a genuine and unfeigned faith. She has the faith of Christ. She has the faith of God, a genuine faith that is not a matter of speculation. She was a saint of God. This faith dwelled in her, and she passed it on to her own daughter, to Eunice. My grandmother's middle name's Eunice, so it's kind of interesting. But Lois faithfully communicated the faith of God to her own daughter. She was very possibly a follower of Christ. In any case, these godly women were true followers of the cross. They possessed that same sort of faith that now dwelt and Timothy, you know, his name, Timothy, literally means one who fears God. And you look at Timothy's background, it's kind of interesting as well, because Timothy's father was a Gentile. His mother was a Jew. And indeed, probably, almost undoubtedly, because of the influence of the father, Timothy was never circumcised as a young man. So he wasn't brought up in the faith necessarily of his mother, probably because of the influence of the father, but the mother had that influence. His very name shows the influence she had and desired to have. He was named one who fears God. She had this desire, and she passed on what she could, that dwelling faith, that genuine faith, that unfeigned faith. It abides, it's without repentance, it dwells in him. You know, the Lord in some sense uses us perhaps in passing those things along. The author and finisher of that faith is Christ. Hebrews, Paul writes in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Didn't start with us. He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. It is indeed the faith of Christ that's unfeigned, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Timothy's mother and grandmother were both Jews. His father was a Gentile. Acts 16:1 we read, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. The two names that these women were known by are actually Greek names. They may have had Hebrew names as well, but the names they're known by were Greek names. Lois speaks of more excellent or full of grace, according to some. Eunice speaks of the good victory. And she was a Jewess, and according here to Acts 16, she was a believer in Christ. So Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy mother, grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also the gift of God, Christ being the author and finisher. But God used these godly women in the communication of that faith to Timothy. And God deigns to do that. That's the way He operates, and we're accountable for that. And it becomes to us as parents, and today as we reflect particularly as grandparents and as grandmothers and as mothers, it becomes a great honor, it becomes a sacred trust, it becomes an awesome responsibility. And, you know, you deal with these folks kind of like that atheist that was writing me, and, oh, well, then, you know, if God's will is always done, you know, why do you pray? Or some folks say, well, if you believe that, if you believe God's sovereign, why do you do anything, you know? Why do it? You know, we do it because God is sovereign. You say, well, if He's sovereign, then don't do anything. No. It's just the opposite. Because He is sovereign, we do what He has commanded us to do. And this faith, though it was communicated through a grandmother and a mother, did not come by natural generation. Now, we can't directly pass our faith on to our children. They're not born with our faith. We do pass on our sin nature. You can look at that and see it. But we don't pass on our faith through natural generation. That is the work of God. But God's grace had given such faith to Lois and to Eunice and now to Timothy. They're set up there a heritage. Oftentimes, we can look back on our own lives and see how the Lord used people. Oftentimes, you know, mothers or fathers or grandmothers, people in our own lineage. There's no denying, if we speak in human terms, that these women had a great impact upon Timothy. And as they had a great impact upon Timothy, they had an impact on us as well. See, these women had no idea that they were going to have an impact on us sitting here today. Because in some sense, we're all recipients of Timothy's ministry. Through his work with the Apostle Paul, through his work at Ephesus, through the record of Paul's writings to him. You know, we have these scriptures. God's deigned to do that. So we're all recipients of Timothy's ministry. We're all recipients in some sense then of the ministries of Lois and Eunice. Well, we've mentioned in passing, there's no indication at all that Timothy's grandfather or father were any kind of believers. In fact, you know, the indication would be that they were not. Not only was his father a Gentile, but or a Greek, but Timothy being uncircumcised, his father evidently, you know, was never any kind of a convert to Judaism. And again, we don't have the complete record, but it would seem that they may have well passed from the scene by now. Again, back to Acts 16, verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew that his father was a Greek. You see, there's disturbance about Timothy's background, and so, you know, some of us are very interested in genealogy. You know, you trace things back. You know, I don't. Some of mine I can trace back pretty far. Some of them, not so far. Well, what a mixed bag, you know. I mean, I look at that I know of. You know, American Indian, Scottish, English. At one time, just a little note. There's even possibility of some Jewish, because my great 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 grandmother's maiden name was one of the names that was usually used by those who were Jews who were forced to convert to Christianity over in England. That's all I know about her, really, but just her very name, Asbel name, as I've looked it up and investigated. I don't know that. Now, what a mixed bag, huh? You know, but God's grace transcends all that. See, Timothy was a... Well, the nasty name they used to call a half-breed or whatever. You know, his daddy was a Greek, his mama was a Jew. He wasn't circumcised. But God's grace transcends that. And he had a godly influence of a grandmother and a mother. And because he didn't have a godly influence from a father, Grandma and Mom had to kind of step up to the plate. You know, sometimes that happens. You know, we thank the Lord for, you know, for our homes and for the influence of godly fathers and godly mothers, but, you know, we don't always have that ideal. And when you don't have the ideal, you know, Mom and Grandma have to step up to the plate. Or it could be Granddad and Dad, depending. But Timothy evidently never really had that influence of a godly man in his life, at least to no great extent, until the time, you know, Paul shows up. He may well have been raised primarily by his grandma and mom. His dad may have passed early. We don't have all the details to that, but there's some indications of that sort of thing if we speculate. But certainly he had no godly influence from a father, from a grandfather. Paul makes no mention of them. They had no spiritual influence upon his life, or they would have been mentioned. But by the time Paul meets Timothy and Lystra, he's already well reported of the brethren, and in cities beyond Lystra. You know, he already has a testimony. He already has a witness. He's already a follower of Christ. By God's grace, but again, through the instrumentality of his mother and his grandmother, Timothy had become a believer with an established testimony. And he was then used of God to work with Paul in his great missionary endeavors. That instruction that had come from a grandmother and a mother. Over in 2 Timothy 3, Paul writes this in verse 14. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child he knew the scriptures. No, certainly it wasn't from his dad. It was from his mom. From his grandma. From a child he knew those scriptures. And we seek to be whatever influence the Lord allows us to be in those circumstances. And again, what they pass on to Timothy, they can't make it operative. But if they pass it on, it's there. It's like train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You can't get away from it. It's there. It's there. You know, we've done our duty before God. We can't give them a new heart. We can't implant within them that unfeigned faith. But we can communicate the truth. And that's what his mom did. That's what his grandma did. From a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. He knew those things. His grandma, Lois, may not have lived to see the ministry of her grandson. You know, we don't have those details. But God had established that legacy. You know, we often don't know, you know, how far our influence by the grace of God, humanly speaking, may stretch. Again, as we just mentioned this morning, as we thought about, you know, as the Lord's allowed us to have just maybe a little bit of influence and encouragement on the lives of some other men who've gone on to do things beyond us. And they've touched people too. We can't even imagine how the Lord's deigned to use those things. And again, Lois and Eunice certainly probably had no idea, you know, that folks would still be talking about Timothy today. You know, talking about their influence on Timothy. About their faithfulness. And turn to that for an example and an encouragement. But Lois and Eunice communicated the gospel of Christ to their children, to their grandchildren. And again, evidently without the support of a godly husband. Perhaps in spite of some objections. But they passed on that truth. So it's no easy task. You know, Lois and Eunice didn't have an easy row to hoe. It took extra effort on their part. And by the grace of God, again, we need to be prepared to make that extra effort. And we don't know what it's going to result in. And we may not see it in our lifetimes. But that's really not our business. You know, people seek to pass on things to their descendants. You know, trinkets and heirlooms, wealth, legends, traditions. You know, and it's not wrong to remember those things and to have some of those things. I'm thankful for a few items I have from, you know, great-grandparents and those things. And, you know, they've been passed on to generations. But the only thing that really matters is the truth that's in Christ. And that's what Lois and Eunice passed on. The truth that's in Christ. For a child has known the Holy Scriptures. That faith, that unfeigned faith that was abiding in Lois and Eunice and was passed on to Timothy. Again, Paul writes another thing to Timothy, and we see how this is perpetuated. How we, to some degree at least, have been the beneficiaries of the faithfulness of Lois and Eunice. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 in verse 1, he says this, "Thou therefore, my son," again that affection he had for Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So Timothy was in that position, humanly speaking, because of the influence of a mother, and they received these teachings from Paul. He says, and he says to Timothy, "You commit that to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also." And they kept on doing that. And so we received that word of truth ourselves because of the ministry of Lois and Eunice. And I just pray that the Lord might be pleased to use us, you know. And in particularly in this day and age, that he might be pleased to multiply the influence of godly Loises and godly Eunices, because we need it. And our descendants need it. And it goes beyond anything we could ever imagine often. Again, Lois and Eunice had no idea, but they were faithful. And that's all we're called to do, is to be faithful. And I thank the Lord for faithful mothers and for faithful grandmothers and for the legacy that they have passed on. And we thank the Lord who overall superintends all that, because it's all by His grace. But by His grace, He deigns to use us, to use men and women, to use mothers and grandmothers. And we pray that He might strengthen them, that they may be used, and that He may accomplish all He would through them. Let's take our hymnals then, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn today. And this is one of my wife's favorite hymns, so that's what we sing on Mother's Day. If she's got a new favorite hymn, she has to tell me, and we'll sing that one next time. But number 187, Hail Sovereign Love. Number 187.
First began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God that rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high. Despised His rich abounding grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night, and fond of darkness more than light, heavily I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view, to Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. Ere long the heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared. She led me on with gentle pace to Jesus as my hiding place. Should storms of thundering vengeance roll and shake the earth from pole to pole, the flaming bolt shall haunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the song of grace and see my glorious hiding place.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this, Your day, Lord, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, for His atoning death, for all that was accomplished on the behalf of Your people. Father, we thank Thee that Thou art a sovereign God that rules and reigns in the affairs of men. Lord, and I pray that because of that, we might be faithful to the Thus Saith the Lord of Scripture. Father, on this day, as we think of mothers and grandmothers, Lord, we thank Thee for the godly influences that You brought upon our own lives. Lord, influences that stretch back further than we could imagine. Or as You've deigned to use others in the communication of truth. And Father, we pray that You might be pleased to use our mothers and grandmothers today. Use our fathers and grandfathers as well. Father, that we might be faithful in teaching the truths of Scripture to those that You give us charge over. That they might know these things from a child, even as Timothy did. Father, we thank You for each one that's here today, and we pray You be with us in the coming week. Lord, I thank You in particular for my own wife and the mother of my children, the grandmother of my grandchildren. Lord, I thank You for our mothers and the influence that they were upon us as you deemed. Father, I pray by Your grace that we might walk in Your ways, that we might be that people that show forth whose we are. Men might see that indeed we're different because we've been with Jesus. Lord, watch over us again as we depart from here. Father, we pray in particular You be with Brother Dale this week, that You watch over him as he travels, that You bring him safely here, that You bless our time together next week. Lord, we thank Thee that every week we can fellowship together. Lord, we thank Thee for the means that allows Brother Dale to be with us. But Lord, we do yearn for that close contact, and Lord, to see face to face and eye to eye. And we just pray that You bless that time together next week, that You be glorified in all. And we pray in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.